The Book Nook on WISO is made possible by five local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Clark County Public Library, the Dayton Metro Library, and the Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. I'd like to welcome to the program today Margaret Marin. Hello, Margaret.
Hi, very good to be here.
Margaret, are you in North Carolina?
I am. I'm in central North Carolina. We live just a little bit south, but Raleigh is where we do our grocery shopping and our book shopping.
I can hear just a little bit of North Carolina in your voice. Just a little bit.
Yeah, well, when I lived in New York, they used to accuse me of being from New Jersey. That I didn't quite get.
Well, they're strange up there. Margaret, you've got a new book out. It's called Takeout. And from what I'm understanding, you have brought back a character that you haven't really written a full book about in some time. Tell us about this character and the path you've taken.
Of the book.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Sigrid Harrell series, and I have written two series. The more popular one is Judge Deborah Knott, who is a North Carolina District Court judge. But I began with Sigrid Harrell, who is a New York Police Department homicide detective in her late 30s. She was born and bred in the city, but she does have a Colleton County, North Carolina connection. Her grandmother is a distant cousin to Deborah Knott's Stevenson grandfather. I have fun with relationships, and I know my readers are not going to miss having to sort out all of Deborah's relations. I once was doing a talk here in the Raleigh area, and one of the newcomers raised her hand, and she said, "You know I'm a Yankee, but how do you remove a cousin?" So we had to stop and briefly explain how that worked. Mm. So anyhow, Sigrid's last book was Fugitive Colors, which was back in 1995. But when I was getting ready to send my North Carolina character, Deborah Knott, and her husband, Dwight, to New York for a belated honeymoon, I thought it would be fun to put a body in the apartment they were using and to have Sigrid come and investigate. That was three-day town. And having taken Deborah to New York, I decided to bring Sigrid down south to visit her grandmother. When I rounded off Deborah's story in Long Upon the Land, which came out in 2015, I realized I had left some loose threads hanging in Sigrid's story. So that's why I wrote Takeout. But it takes place in the 90s before she met Deborah. So we still have subways that take tokens. We can still smoke in restaurants. There's no Google. Telephones are mostly tethered to the wall, although cell phones were starting to become popular.
I miss those days. I miss those times. They seem much more innocent.
Well, it is amazing how much has changed in 20 years. When I went back to reread the last couple of books in order to orient myself in that time frame, I noticed things like the smoking. That just seems so strange now, because really there are not that many people who still smoke.
Mm.
And certainly not in restaurants and bars.
Sigrid is a little darker than Deborah, isn't she?
Yes. Yes, she's very much more repressed. She is not very good in social situations and relationships. And I just thought it would be amusing to put her in situations that she had to cope with feelings and emotions. My friend Susan Dunlap, who writes several mystery series, once teased me. She said, "You know, you're not very kind to Sigrid. You get her up a tree and then you throw rocks at her."
Well, in this one, Sigrid is grieving. She is mourning the loss of her lover, and she's also dealing with his estate. And that's a touchy thing, isn't it?
It is. The thing is, she didn't make friends easily. And so when she investigated a murder at the college where Oscar Naumann was chairing the art department, he fell in love with her and eventually won through her reserve. He was killed in a car crash about a year before this book opens. And Sigrid has inherited all of his work and all of the headaches that go with it. They had planned a major retrospective before his death, and the planning continues for it in this book. And I wanted to, when I first wrote about her lover being killed, that was sort of in, how shall I put this tactfully? I was tired of reading macho male characters who, every time they had a love interest in their books, you knew that that love interest was either going to be dead or the killer by the end of the book, so that the protagonist could love and lust in the next book. And I thought, you know, you don't get over. If you love someone, you do not get over them that quickly. And so the last book in the series before this, Fugitive Colors, he has been killed in a car wreck out in California, and she mourns him. It takes time for her to come back. She's numbed by this because, having given her heart, it was very hard to give him up. And so this book is about a year after his death, and she's still dealing with the fallout from it because she didn't particularly like his work. He was a modern abstract painter, and she prefers the high Gothic. And so this was hard for her, but she's coping. Before he left, the situation for Naumann was such that he needed to make a new will, and he didn't have time to do it before he left. So he told his attorney, look, just write everything to Sigrid, and I'll do a more formal will when I get back. So she winds up with everything.
And we find out in this new book possibly why he went to California.
Yeah. Well, we knew he went for a college art association meeting. But what was he doing in a rental car west of L.A., in an unfamiliar car, in unfamiliar territory? What was he doing out there that he went off the road and crashed his car, the unfamiliar road?
And that's just part of the mystery in Margaret Maron's Takeout. And can we talk about the fact that the title refers to a murder weapon? Is that allowed?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. In fact, it's been funny. They've been putting birds on my cover, certainly on the North Carolina books. And so this one, I kept expecting a pigeon, but they didn't. They just had the park bench and takeout cartons underneath the park bench. Yes, two men are found dead on a park bench down in Greenwich Village. And it's not known which one was the intended victim, because it turns out that the takeout cartons, they shared the food, the two men did. One is a street person, and the other one is some guy who's really living day to day. And they had shared the food, so there was poison in both boxes. And the problem becomes, which one was the intended victim?
And in the neighborhood, we have two women living very close together who are inextricably linked, but I can't really say what links them.
Right. And also, one of the women is the wife of a dead mafia don, and she has a huge vendetta going against a woman who lives down the street. For some reason, she thinks that and she tells Sigrid, who thinks that the woman is running a brothel. But of course, the woman is not running a brothel. But you know, I couldn't resist when I heard about that people pay to be cuddled. I thought that was so sad that people, lonely people, with their mates gone, or elderly, or disabled people, or disfigured people, ugly people, have no human contact, nobody to hug them, nobody to cuddle with them. And that's what this woman was offering. a chance to lie down beside somebody and have no sex involved. Absolutely, sex was forbidden. But want to lie down next to somebody and have them stroke their arm or you know, stroke their hair. Just that human touch.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't resist putting it in.
My guest is Margaret Maron. Her new novel is Take Out. And after 22 years, she has brought back her character in this one, Sigrid Harald. And it took 22 years, but only a year for Sigrid. This is a year later. And let's talk about this other lady, can we? You talked about the Don's boss, or the Don's wife, I should say. Let's talk about this other one.
Also in the neighborhood is a retired opera singer. She is a very well-known, famed soprano, and she lives a few doors down from the Don's widow. And the link to Sigrid is that one of the colleagues of her dead lover, who is helping with the retrospective, lives in a house between these two. And so he's a very gossipy nature. And so he has told Sigrid about both women. And it turns out that the takeout boxes came from those two houses. And so she has to explore the relationships and try to figure out what their motives might possibly have been.
You have a number of peripheral characters in here, and I think if I had to pick favorites, they would be these employees of the mafia widow.
Yes, yes. Yes, I think that they were very interesting. One reminds the widow of Alberic in Wagner's Ring Cycle, the dwarf, because he lives in her basement and he's supposed to be both the gardener and a bodyguard almost, and do the heavy lifting. And also she has a longtime housekeeper who she hired when her daughter was born, and a very homely woman, which it was deliberate. I mean, she was hired not only because of her skills and her ability to work hard, but the fact that she was homely, because the Don did have a roving eye, and the wife did not want that happening under her roof.
You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world. This is the Book Nook. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'm absolutely delighted to have Margaret Maron on the program. We're talking about her novel, Takeout, which just came out. And the press material states that this is it for this character, that you're finished, that you're done with the series. And that's really something to see, because I think that's rare. I think it's rare for a writer to say, okay, we're finished with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. But on the other hand, you would like to go out on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hope I've done with both series. I've learned never to say never, but right now I do not intend to write a full-length novel about either of these women again. I may write short stories. That's how my career began, Vic, with short stories. And I like the form, and I enjoy the form, and I've already written, since I finished this book, I've written about 4 short stories, and I have 2 or 3 more in my files waiting to be completed.
Oh, good.
So I may use the characters again in short stories. In fact, that's how the Deborah Knott began. She was in a short story. Sarah Paretsky was doing an anthology called A Woman's Eye, and she invited me to submit a short story, and I was playing around with the North Carolina character. And so that gave me a chance to try out her voice. The Sigrid Harald books are written third person, but the Deborah Knott books are mostly first person. And I also, writers have a problem with time if they're going to write a series. Do you let the character remain static? This is what Sue Grafton did with her Kinsey Millhone.
Mm-hmm.
Her character stays in the 1980s. I mean, I think in the course of the book, it's only been about 3 or 4 years that she's aged. Jan Burke, on the other hand, has let her Irene character age in real time.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of take a halfway point there. I write the books in the current now of whenever I'm writing the books, and I don't worry about how many years it actually has been since the series began. So that's why you can, when you read, if you were to go back and read the whole Sigrid Harrell books, they start when she's making her reports on a typewriter, you know. And somewhere along the way, she learned to use a computer, but we never see that happening. I just take it for granted that now people are writing on computers, and therefore she will too. So I mess up the time. There's sort of a slipstream in the timelines. But I figure that writers can suspend their disbelief enough to accept it. At least I hope so. Mm.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Sue Grafton. We've had her on the show a few times over the years.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She is wonderful. And here we are. It's summer, and I just saw a galley for the second to the last Kinsey Milhone mm-hmm. in the alphabet. It's coming to an end. She's decided, just like you did, that, okay, we're done with this.
Well, you know, we live long enough, and if we retain our faculties enough, then we can write, you know, have a nice long writing career. But there reaches a point when you don't want any more contracts, you don't want any more deadlines, you don't want that pressure of having to perform. And also, in my case, I don't know about Sue, but in my case, I was afraid, I didn't want a falling off of narrative powers. In fact, I wrote a short story about it for Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine. I had a pact with Sue Dunlap and Nancy Picard, and we agreed. We had seen some of our older colleagues stay too long at the dance, and their last books were not as good as their first, and they were starting to hurt their own reputation. And we said to each other, you know, if that happens to us and we don't quit on our own, one of you will come and kill the other, right?
Okay. Well.
And Nancy can be very focused when she wants to be.
Well, it does kind of trouble me a little bit when I see an enduring franchise, a writerly franchise, like, let's say, Robert Parker or Ludlum or even Margaret Mitchell, you know, or Agatha Christie, to see the estate authorize sequels and new books. I don't know, that's kind of tough to face, I think.
It is. It really is. I agree with you totally on that.
Margaret Maron joins us. Her book is Takeout. Now, you indicated earlier in the interview when we were talking about your other series that you've also put that one to bed, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
And that was a couple years ago.
Yes, yes. That last book came out, in 2015. And you know, we had the launch for this book, for Takeout, was on Tuesday at Quail Ridge Books here in Raleigh. I don't know if you're familiar with that bookstore.
I've heard of it. They had a very famous owner, didn't they, who passed away recently?
Yes, Nancy Olson. Mm-hmm. She started it. She was a wonderful cheerleader for writers and just for literacy in general. And so I put her in as a cameo in this book. I thought it was, she loved to go to Book Expo in New York. And so I gave her a bit of a cameo and sort of in her honor. And that's what I will miss. I will miss doing the book launches. I will miss meeting and talking with the readers who took these characters to their heart, you know. And that part I will miss, but I'm not going to miss the deadlines, trust me.
Mm. Well, I was tickled when I saw the Book Expo segments because this is a very specialized world. I used to go to it every year, and when you would segue into those, I just said, oh, wow, she's taking us to Book Expo.
The tote bags. I mean, I got such a wonderful Dorling Kindersley tote bag that I came home and I said to my husband, you know, I would like, he has a little bit of stock that he had bought from the P&W Railroad because a friend of his ran the railroad. And so I thought, well, I should have a little stock of my own of something. So I said, let's buy a couple of shares of Dorling Kindersley.
Oh.
And he said, you're going to buy stock on the basis of a book bag? But it was such a wonderful tote bag. And so, yes, we did it. Unfortunately, they took the company back private after a few years, and I had to give up the stock.
Oh.
But I still have the tote bag.
I used to go and just grab galleys like crazy. Then after a year or two at Book Expo, I said, what am I doing? I can't carry around all this stuff. So I got more selective. My guest is Margaret Maron. You said a moment ago that you're writing short stories currently and that you started off as a writer writing short stories. Let's go back to the beginning of your journey as a writer. Tell us how that began and how you got into this field.
Well, I had a mother who read to us and encouraged us to have library cards and use the library and read. I mean, this was before television. Out here in the country, we didn't have television. And so I read a lot, and not very selectively. I read anything that the bookmobile brought out. But I really did like mysteries, and I liked the puzzle. I'm one of these people that, when I was a kid, if my shoelaces got tangled, I was sort of pleased because I liked to untangle the knots.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, when I'm on a retreat with friends who may bring along a piece of, you know, a ball of yarn or crochet or knit, and if their yarn gets tangled or the crochet threads get tangled, they know to bring it to me, and I will untangle it so they don't have to cut it. So I like the puzzle. And when I decided to start writing, I actually have never taken any writing courses, but we were living in Brooklyn at the time, and I gave myself a writing course out of the Brooklyn Public Library. I'm going to tell you, Vic, I think libraries are one of the greatest things of a civilization,
mm-hmm.
to have those public places where people can go and borrow books and read and look things up. I mean, they're just wonderful. So anyhow, having given myself this writing course, I started writing a couple of short stories. I didn't want to write a coming-of-age book. I didn't want to write a book at all. In fact, I did not think I could write a book. I'm still amazed that I've written 30 or so, because it was the short form that appealed to me. I liked being able to do a complete story in 2,500 words. I really didn't think I could write 75,000 words and fill up 300 pages of a book. So I started with the short story, and I was perfectly happy doing that until the market started drying up in the late 70s. And I had written a short story about a New York homicide detective named Peter Boor. And it didn't sell. But it was a long story for me, and it didn't sell. So I thought, well, maybe if I expanded it into a novelette form. So I sort of doubled it, and I sent it off to a magazine that published novelettes, and it was rejected. But by now, I was really starting to get interested in the situation that I had created, and I changed the male character to a female character, Sigrid Harold.
Oh.
And I doubled it, and I sent it to an agent that someone had recommended. And the agent came right back to me, and he said he liked the character, he liked the story, but nobody was buying a novelette. Now, if I could double it. So I doubled it again, and I put in a subplot, and that's the first book that I sold.
Well, the book begins with these murders, and
mm-hmm.
a number of years ago, back in 2001, we had Ed McBain on the show, and I asked him, I said, what's an essential part of your story, the way you set it up? And he said, you got to start off with a corpse. Do you agree?
Up to a point. My first Sigrid Harold book, I don't think we got to the corpse until chapter 2.
Okay, well, that's still pretty quick.
To me, the elements of a good crime, I write what's called a traditional mystery.
Uh-huh.
And that means, you know, you don't have excessive gore. You don't have excessive explicit sex and eroticism. And the puzzle is such, it's fairly clued. I don't let my sleuth see anything that the reader doesn't see. It's not like Sherlock Holmes used to pick up something off the floor and go, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know what it was he had picked up or what he was looking at. With a fair play mystery, you see everything the sleuth sees. And if you follow the clues and you're not distracted by the red herrings, in my case, you'll solve the murder about two or three pages before my character does, so that we can all feel smart.
Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier that when you shop for books, you go into Raleigh, and you've mentioned Sue Grafton and Jan Burke. And I'm wondering, what kind of books do you like to read for your own personal pleasure? Who are some of the writers that you admire?
Oh, you know, you almost hate to say this, because when you get started, you're going to leave out people that whose books you absolutely adore. So I will just say that recently I discovered Steve Hamilton.
Oh, he's great, isn't he?
Isn't he good?
Uh-huh.
And I really liked his first book, The Lock Artist. I think it won an Edgar for Best First Novel.
Mm-hmm.
And but now he has a character that is in the Upper Michigan Peninsula. And I just really like that character. I like the way he writes. I like his stories. I adore Michael Connelly's Lincoln Lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I like Nancy Picard's books. I mean, I like all my friends' books. I shouldn't just single her out, because I could just give you a whole long list. Early on in my career, Sarah Paretsky was the founding impetus for Sisters in Crime.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the first president, Nancy was the second, and I was the third. And I met so many wonderful women writers. I mean, at the time, a lot of the male writers felt threatened. They didn't understand that if you were pro-female, that didn't mean that you were anti-male. It just meant that you wanted to level the playing field. Publishers were not giving women writers the same advances and the same promotion that they were giving to the men. And we discovered that although women were writing like 45% of the mysteries, we were only getting 16% of the review space. I mean, we actually counted for newspapers and magazines all over the country, and we came up with some hard data on this. So in working with Sisters in Crime, I really got to know so many women, and later men too, when I started going to the conventions. So it's hard to say who I read and who I don't. I don't like to be scared, so I don't read the really hard suspense.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I mean, if it gets too suspenseful, I have to turn over to the end and see who done it and make sure. Because you used to be able to, if you really liked a character, you knew that that character would survive till the end of the book. But then, in the 90s and early teens, they started killing off sympathetic characters. And it was a bummer for me. So I got to the point that if it got too suspenseful and I was really worried about the protagonist, I would turn to the end of the book and make sure that he or she came out okay.
Well, Margaret, it has been wonderful to have you on the program.
Well, thank you, Vic. You're a good interviewer, and I appreciate this so much. It was fun getting to know you, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much for your time. You've been listening to The Book Nook on WYSO. My guest has been Margaret Maron, and the last Sigrid Herald novel just came out. It's called Takeout. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McKeown.